Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of Attention Talk Radio is brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD and managing neurodivergent households. We're going to get to the content in a moment. Before we do, we'd like to thank children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for bringing this program to you. In celebration of that event, we're anxious to give away free digital copies of Attention Magazine. To get yours, just listen to our show. We'll be sharing a secret word a couple times. Write it down. Listen to another show and write down the secret word of that show, and then just email me the two words. That's all you need to do. Email address is attention@attentiontalkradio.com. When we get it, we'll forward it to Chad. We'll get you a PDF copy of the current edition of Attention Magazine, and they'll send you a PDF copy of the next edition when it's in print. We have a little tip that we're going to share with you that Chad made, and we'll get into the show.
Women diagnosed with ADHD in adulthood are more likely to have depression, be stressed, and have low self-esteem. It's recommended they talk to a professional to develop better life and stress management strategies. But here are some tips. Identify the sources of stress and make changes. Develop healthy self-care habits, such as getting adequate sleep, exercise, and good nutrition. To learn more about ADHD in women, visit chad.org.
Thank you so much, Chad, for your continued support. For those that are not aware, Chad is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage all of our listeners to either donate or become members to support Chad. Financial stability is really important for them to have the resources to have people lobbying on Capitol Hill for the ADHD community and working with different regulatory agencies on wording to make sure that those with ADHD get the accommodations that they need in order to thrive. Again, for more information, to donate or to become a member, go to chadd.org.
So, Jan, can you introduce our guest?
Jeff, our guest today is best-selling author and international speaker Brooke Schnittman. Brooke is founder of Coaching with Brooke, offering 20 years of expertise in ADHD and executive function coaching, transforming chaos and frustration into focused success for thousands. She offers tools to help you thrive despite ADHD overwhelm and activate your ADHD potential. Contact Brooke at coachingwithbrooke.com. Jeff, we're glad to have Brooke with us today.
Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff, for having me again.
I'm ecstatic about our content. One of the things that I really like is to bring people on, because there's a lot of people out there that support people with ADHD, and that's really good, but sometimes you kind of hear, like, particularly somebody who doesn't have ADHD, and, like, you hear the advice, and, like, I don't know if they live it. But what I really like is when I'm having people on that have it and that do both and live it, and this is central for you, so I'm like, you're, like, the best guest for this.
Aww.
And you've got so much kind of going on. So you actually have a neurodiverse household, correct?
Oh, I do. We're all neurodivergent, all five of us.
Can you just talk to us about a little bit about, I don't, not really deep type stuff, just to give everybody a sense of what's going on and kind of give credibility before we start getting into how to manage it?
Absolutely. So my husband and I both have ADHD. My husband also has OCD and some other stuff. I have anxiety. My two boys have ADHD and anxiety. And then my two-year-old toddler displays many symptoms of ADHD.
And you're running your own business.
And I run, both my husband and I are entrepreneurs, and the two boys also go back and forth from household because they're my stepsons. So it's 1 week on, 1 week off. So just think of, like, a never-ending cycle of madness.
Come on, you're not mad. You're sane.
No, I'm very happy. It's just, we're in a cycle, an ongoing cycle.
I would imagine that some of the things that we're going to talk about, you know, there's not really, sometimes when you have complex kids, you got ADHD, there's really not a manual. You kind of learn kind of as you go and develop
Correct.
Systems along the process. So it's not like there's a manual. You learn about ADHD and you understand some fundamentals, but you still have to kind of apply it to your situation. So you're really problem solving. Is that accurate?
100%. I'm glad that you said that, because as I was writing down the notes for our interview today, I said, I'm not going to Google anything, because honestly, everything is based off of my personal experience. So I don't care what tips and advice are out there. I'm just going to share with the listeners what I'm experiencing and what works for our family.
And we touched base a little bit beforehand, but sometimes there's just mental concepts that are, I think, are important that you apply to your group. And one of the things that we talked about that really I never really thought about is everybody really kind of having their own space. Now, I'm assuming that can look a little bit different, but the point really is everybody needs their own space. Can you tell us about that and why you advocate for that?
Yeah. So it's kind of like a don't ask, don't tell room. I think that we can get overstimulated, especially in a pretty big household with noises and sounds and daily demands. So we all need our own space to just be free, be messy, be calm, and no one can say anything about it. So for the boys, it's their bedroom. For my two-year-old, it's her bedroom. For my husband and I, we can be as messy as we want in our closets and our office. And, you know, everyone just needs to respect that. And if we need some quiet time as well, we go to our areas and we just, you know, calm down.
I'm quite a social person. I remember in college, I was in a dorm with a roommate, and I kind of felt like I was there, but it was our space, not my space. And I remember moving out into a house. I love having people in the house all the time, but I had my room, and certain times I could just go back there. I still could go to the common areas, but I could escape when I didn't need all that type of stuff to kind of charge my jets and stuff like. So I can kind of relate to that. It makes a lot of sense. Another thing that you said that's really big in my world is chargers, like phone chargers, I'm guessing, all over the house?
All over the house. So we all have phones except for my two-year-old, and they get eaten. They get taken. They get put in the car. I have no idea where they go. So, and as ADHDers, you know, we're not constantly thinking about charging our phones. So we have phones in multiple areas of the couch even. So, you know, there's special things that you can, like adapters that you can put where you have a charger connected to like a cushion of the couch. So we have that. We also have a charging area. There's also random chargers in every room. So we don't have to go looking or saying, hey, can I borrow your charger? And then it get lost.
Yeah, I live that world. I got, you know, extra cords in my car. I got chargers in bathrooms just in case, because you never know kind of what's going on. But something else that I've kind of do is now that like my computer has got that USB-C power stuff, I've actually got computer chargers in multiple different places. So not everywhere, but that same particular concept, because if I'm going to go somewhere around the house and I take my laptop charger
with me
and I kind of come back, because I actually have one in my briefcase, so when I go I just have to take the laptop. All the cords are all in there to go, so it's all separate. It costs a little bit of money, but it makes things so much easier.
It's genius. It takes away the stress, and you know, when we stress out with executive dysfunction, our executive function shut down, and then it makes it so much worse, right? We get into that spiral, we can't find anything, and then it delays something else that we need to be doing. So it just, even though it's more expensive, it pays yourself back in time and calmness.
So we talked about having your own space. We talked about the chargers, but I'm going to throw that under having everything at point of performance. I'm sure we're going to cover that in some other things that we're going to talk about in a second. But when you have ADHD, you know, it's that notion sometimes, you know, you've got books at home for school, and then you got books at school. So the books, like, they don't go back and forth. So you've eliminated that cognitive need to think, right? And so it just is very ADD friendly.
Exactly. We have that for our boys. We have the same clothes, the same books at our house, their mom's house, and the same books at school as well.
That it's when you have to stop and think, that's a real issue. And so we're resolving that right there. So the other one that you kind of came up with, I think that's kind of, again, this is new to me, hampers everywhere. Like clothes hampers?
Yeah, I recently discovered that, or came up with it, because we have three bathrooms, so and we have five of us. And so, you know, the boys will be boys, regardless if they have ADHD or not. And clothes are everywhere, socks are everywhere. They'll use a bathroom and, you know, get undressed, and the clothes will be on the floor. So instead of me constantly having to remind them or moving their clothes into their room, I make it easier for them and say, hey, look, there's a hamper right here. If your clothes aren't making it to the hamper, there's a problem. Put it in the hamper.
Now, does the hamper have a lid?
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
So I tell people that the more, like, if you've got something that's tedious and boring, like, if anything you've got is, number one, if you can live your life without doing it, don't. Delegate it or automatic it, or reduce
the
number of steps. And so the reason I ask about the hamper lid on, and believe it or not, opening a lid, having to put something in it, that can be a deterrent for people with ADHD.
Oh, so yeah.
I love the idea you don't have that. And I want to share a story. I'm coaching this kid one time. I really typically don't coach teens, but this is a rarity. And the guy, his mom was complaining to him. We were just talking about laundry because he just goes into the laundry room to get his clothes. And he talked about, you know, it's a pain in the butt to take the laundry out of the closet. I mean, I have a laundry and take it into my closet. I go through a lot of laundry. And it's all, you know, and I know that it's there. And it's funny because his mother got on the line and she was like, whatever. And I said, you know, it's, when you think about it, the laundry room is just his closet. Like, why does he have to have a second closet? And then not to go into the details, but it turns out that they had an extra bedroom. And they ended up moving the washer and the dryer into the bedroom. And here's the funny part. If it was on the floor, it was dirty. And they had gotten a bunch of tables that they had put out. And if it was on the table, now it's not folded, that means it came out of the dryer and it was clean. Right. Then they had some racks that were up, and those were clothes that had been put on a hanger that, you know, like that they don't wear very often. And the thing about it was funny. Everybody knew where their clothes were because they all migrated into that room. So the system is the dirty stuff would just go on the floor and they would get processed on the table and you would kind of go sift through it a little bit. And it was funny because it's not something that you would normally think of. But for this family, it might not be for ugly. It was very ADD friendly, and everybody knew where their clothes were. It was going to be that everything made it into that room at some point in time. And again, I'm sharing that as a means to spark some of the creativity out there, because this is the type of stuff that you need to do functionally to make to run a neurodiverse household. Make sense?
Absolutely. I think, like we spoke about, everything's in a cycle, and if it works, it takes some steps out of the frustration of finding your clothes and doing the laundry. Like, your laundry is always in a cycle, so just grab what you need from the laundry room. Why have to create those extra steps to fold, put away, and then not be able to find it?
And we want to go to a break, but before we do, real quick, there's a field of engineering called systems engineering, and it's about processes. And like, imagine a commercial kitchen. One of the things that they do in kitchens is they want everything designed at point of performance, because they don't want the people working in the kitchen having to move a lot, because if they're having to crisscross all over the place, food would be flying everywhere. The concept that we're talking about is it's really more about the functional process than it is sometimes the aesthetic process when you're running a neurodivergent house. It might not always look pretty, but if it's functional, it works. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Let's go to break. Everybody, got some great stuff. Really need to check out her website at coachingwithbrooke.com. And can you just tell us really quickly about a book that you have to sell now, so our readers have a, like, go get the book?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Activate Your ADHD Potential for Adults with ADHD. It's a workbook and a book, and it talks about how to get over overwhelm and underwhelm through building and maintaining momentum in my 12 steps.
And clearly, we were giving you – I'm sure people are listening to this, and they're like, oh, my God, I never thought about some of these things. So I know there's some clever stuff in there. So everybody go check it out. A big shout-out to Time Timer, a longtime supporter of Attention Talk Radio. They've got this tool that helps you with what I call clock math. It's a cognitive shortcut for people that struggle with time. To learn more, go to timetimer.com. Our secret word tonight is household. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Are you a parent of a child, teen, or young adult with ADHD? If you're like us, you're always looking for something you can do that will really help your kids. Impact Parents gives you the tools with guidance so you can empower your kids so they can learn to manage their own lives. For confidence in parenting and peace in your home, download a free guide with 12 key coaching tools. Go to impactparents.com/parentADHD for the guidance you've been seeking. That's impactparents.com/parentADHD. Start making things better for your family today.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are on with Brooke, who is an expert in her field because she is running a neurodivergent household. She supports people that does the same thing, but we're hearing a lot of things that she's learned at the School of Hard Knocks, hopefully to jog your creativity so that you don't have to go through as much pain. I'm not so sure you can get rid of all of it. One of the things that was near and dear to my heart that we were talking about beforehand is when it comes to a neurodivergent household and food, talk to us about what you've learned about that.
Yes. So, two things, sensory issues and making sure that the food that some of us eat, they feel good, and they feel good going down as well, and predictability in the food too. The third thing is the planning and the cooking and the cleanup. So what we have going on in our house is shakes that are already pre-made that the kids can have on their way to school. And then for dinner, we have options that are very little thought. We have frozen food and pre-made food that we can just heat up and make within 10 minutes. And they love it. It's easier. And it gives back our time, and everyone's happy.
I remember at the height of my kids, I have kids that are, two kids are 6 years apart, which means that they're in a very different stage of life. And the week would go on. I remember I called Sunday afternoon cross-docking. I go to the store, and I would be packing everything, and everything was kind of modularized. And so I would always make a big meal and freeze it that we'd done for stuff. And
mm-hmm.
then back in the old days, I used to do this podcast in the evening on Wednesday nights live. And so that particular day, I remember everybody was coming home from their sporting events, if you will, and I was upstairs kind of getting ready for this, and it was sandwich night. So I'd always have like one loaf of bread and all the lunch meat for everybody to do, and it was relatively somewhat modular. It wasn't as efficient as what you're doing, but the idea is you need things that are easy, that are quick, that you can kind of do on the fly, and that are there, particularly when there's nothing worse than when you've got somebody in a neurodivergent household that's hungry or hangry, right? You got to be able to deal with
yeah.
that relatively quickly because the emotional
especially
outburst of that.
Mm-hmm. Especially a 13-year-old boy, he can eat for the whole house.
Touché, touché.
Touché.
Next, talk to us about bins. You use a lot of bins.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Lots of bins. So one thing is sensory bins. So I noticed for one of our children in particular, and also my husband, you know, they'll make sounds like echolalia or a clap and be really loud, and then that also ends up bothering me as a mom because of the loud noises all the time, and we have high ceilings, so it echoes throughout the house. So what I realize is when those noises happen, they need some sort of sensory outlet, right? And they're getting rid of that stimulation. So we have sensory bins throughout the house. We bought this big box of fidgets
and everyone picked their fidgets, and then we put it into all the different rooms. So if you have the need to start screaming or doing other things, grab a fidget if you can, or go outside. So that's one bin. Another bin is shoe bins. Sometimes the shoes just don't make it to the shoe rack. And I noticed that there's like 20 pairs of shoes right in front of the shoe rack rather than on the shoe rack. So I know. So I bought a bunch of bins and I said, just throw your shoes in there. You can do that. It's not that extra step of taking off your shoes and like reaching for the shoe rack. So we've got bins everywhere. Some of the bins are also labeled with utensils, and we have clear bins to find things. So bins are our best friend. Yeah.
So this goes back to point of performance, and to make it easy to actually put a shoe at a shoe rack takes some cognitive effort when they're in the middle of some stuff like that and people won't stop. So I love the idea of a bin with no lid. You just toss anything in there. It sounds silly, but it's reducing steps. And I'll tell you a small story. I was coaching a real estate agent one time. We were talking about how they – we're talking about working memory challenge that they have and the need to print. And they said, yes, I print sometimes, but I don't actually go get it. And I said, where's your printer? And it was like 8 feet away. And I said, that's a 16-foot round trip. You might as well have that thing on the moon because you're not going to go do that, because what's happening is you're in the middle of something and you print it. But cognitively, you're engaged in something else. And if you stop what you're doing, you're going to forget what you're doing, which is why they don't get it.
Exactly.
So I said, you know, you're going to have to put the printer like next to you. And she said, I got no room. We'll put it on the floor. And it was an ugly system, but it worked. And I'm just reiterating that reducing the number of steps is really important, and having the stuff at point of performance, which is why I love what you're saying, Brooke, because this really makes a lot of sense. So
yeah, and like what you said, like your favorite ADHD person, Dr. Barclay, like yep. He talks about leading with your nose. And if we see something in front of us, then we're going to attend to that and yep. Forget what we're doing. So having that printer in eyesight
yes.
is
yes.
in mind.
Absolutely. One more before we go to break, and that is space for school stuff. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have an area in our dining room where we keep writing utensils, index cards, paper. It's just stocked up. So when my boys come home, they are supposed to start with their homework, and they don't have to think. They don't have to get up and go look for the pen or the pencil or go look for the paper or a notebook. They usually have to go and do all those things, so we make it super easy. It's all there, and when it starts getting low, then we, you know, supply more into that, because think about how much time and energy that saves, where they can focus on what is important. And also we have a bin there too where they just, you know, put all of their materials yep. back into their backpack, so when they're leaving for school the next day, everything is right there. They don't have to go searching for everything.
So I tell the story. I live in Florida, and we some houses have dining rooms. Not all do, but
mm-hmm.
we really don't use dining rooms like they do up northeast.
This is the dining room that we're talking about.
Yeah. So it's funny. I came home one day, and at one point in time, like everybody's migrating in there because there's, you know, just table to spread out. And I went out to the garage, and I got a, you know, like one of those 4-inch drill bits, and I drilled a hole in the middle of the dining. This is a true story. The hole right through the middle of the dining room table, like for what? For everybody's computer cord. To go down there with a power strip, and I changed the name of their dining room to the media room, because it wasn't being used for a dining room. It was being used
mm-hmm.
for people to do the work. And sometimes you have to change your belief system around that to make it like a really friendly household. So a little bit of an explanation, but I don't have to tell us yet.
We recently changed our dining room to a hangout video game, another TV room, because we never use our dining room too. We actually pushed our dining room table up against the wall, and that's where they do their homework or sit and eat and have some snacks. So
yep.
it's nice that we can have separate spaces if people want to do other things and get away from one another.
Awesome. All right, let's go to break. Check out Brooke's stuff at coachingwithbrooke.com, and you know, I write too quickly. So I know your book is Action ADHD, but I can't even read my own writing.
Activate your ADHD potential.
See, I can't even write very well, but perfect. Thank you very much.
That's okay.
Everybody, our secret word is household. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Could hiring an attention coach really help you move forward? Does a child get wet when they dive into a swimming pool? You can get started moving forward today. Just call Dig Coaching Practice at 813-837-8084 and schedule a free consultation. Tell us you heard about us on Attention Talk Radio and get 50% off your discovery session. For more information, visit digcoaching.com. Don't delay. Do it today. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We are here with Brooke, learning the ins and outs of managing a neurodiverse household, a lot of really cool concepts. I want to reiterate concepts. You can try some of these things, but you probably have to adapt them a little bit to yours. With the time that we have left, there's kind of three things that I'd kind of like to kind of bring together. We talked about the notion of daily meetings, weekly meetings, and then there's something I've been doing for years is if you're going out and you're dealing with a service provider, you're making an appointment before you leave them. So let's go to the top. Talk to us about daily meetings. What you found, you learned about having those.
Yeah. So, we all have busy schedules and some of us can get anxiety about not knowing what's coming up or not feeling like people remember. So when the boys come home from school, we'll preview what's coming up for the rest of the afternoon. Same thing in the morning before they go to school. We actually have this big tablet in the morning where they see their schedule and see our schedules. So all of the calendars are there. They also have their to-do list on that tablet, too, for the morning, like take a shake, take your brain vitamin, turn off the lights, that kind of thing. So it helps to know what's coming up so they're not so jolted by a change and they can be a part of the planning and the execution.
I love the concept of this. It seems to me that having the discipline to do this might be a bit of a challenge.
Yes. Do we do this every day? No. But I can tell you that every day before school, they do check off the things on the tablet because right now it's pretty exciting. There's like an emoji that pops up after they do their to-dos. But we do our best, and of course, not everything is perfect. So that's
and
what
I
we try to do. And we all.
I love your response. The reason I brought it up is that I don't want to minimize it. It's maybe not an easy thing to do everything, but it's very valuable. Like the down-the-road benefits of actually stopping and that old saying, take time to make time. This is one of those things where it's easy to run past it and forget about it, but if you actually stop and do this, it actually saves you a lot of time down the road.
Absolutely. So I also say, like, you got to plan to plan, similar to that concept. It's hard, right? You have to stop and think about it, but it saves so much time and energy in the long run. And we don't do it religiously, but we try our best. And then we also have weekend meetings as well. So my husband and I will do like the household management weekend meetings, and then we bring in the kids at the end to kind of just plan what's happening for the weekend so we can also create some time together because, again, busy schedules, soccer matches, you know, two-year-old birthday parties. So we're all in different places at different times. We take the village. We try to divide and conquer. So we really try to spend some quality family time when we can and put everyone, everyone's thoughts in the mix to plan.
Yep. And the idea of making appointments with service providers before you leave.
Yeah, so it's funny. So with the boys, they're older, they're established, they're 10 and 13. Before we leave their doctor, and same thing with us adults, we plan, you know, they always say, okay, do you want to make your next appointment or do you want to just call in? As much as you want to just leave the doctor and go to your next thing because you're probably rushing, take that time because you know it's going to be really hard to think about making that phone call to get back and schedule. So I always try to schedule the next appointment before leaving the doctor because the amount of executive function that it takes to make a phone call to a doctor or to an appointment is it's exhausting.
Yep. I talk a lot about the root of a lot of procrastination is ambiguity. And when you're making a doctor's appointment, you have your schedule and unknown.
Their
and
schedule.
Their schedule and how you're going to get them there because usually you're doing it at more or less kind of point of performance and the options are a little bit limited. And with all those moving parts, it's easy just to kick the can down the street. But what I've learned is for reasons I won't go into, I have to go to the dentist four times a year. I have dental appointments that are scheduled out a year in advance. And the reason I do it is I like the Wednesday morning appointment at 8 o'clock because there's no holidays on Wednesday, number one. Number two, 8 o'clock, I'm there, and the hygienist is really on time. I also have another doctor I see that I always see him on Tuesday at 1 o'clock because I know that he's getting off of lunch and he's not doing rounds. So I am apt to get that appointment.
So you're likely to be seen on time.
Yeah. And I will do it in advance. And the way my schedule works is I have clients that might be those times, but they're coming up. And I know them weeks in advance where I'll actually move them because it's easier because I talk to a client each week to make that slight adjustment. But by having those, it's easier to kind of plan around. I've even done that before where I was doing a haircut. That's why I said, you know, service professionals or different types of things that you've got to go to because at that point of performance, if you have it and you can manage it, it can take out a lot of cognitive stuff down the road. So it really makes a lot of sense to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so we do that with all of us. And then, of course, I have a two-year-old who doesn't have established appointments yet. So, like, I've been procrastinating so much getting her a dentist appointment because she's never seen a dentist. So that's something that, you know, do I have all the tools to be a great executive function coach? Of course. Do I have the tools to help my kids? Of course. But, like, just stopping and pausing and making that a priority, I got to do that. So it takes longer to do it when it's not established.
So as we pull this together, you know, Brooke, one of the common themes I'm hearing is individuality. You have to create an environment for everybody to be themselves, whether it's their own space or have access to fidgets or have the school stuff in a certain area. You've got to make things functionally modular, whether it's just, you know, grabbing food kind of on the go, that type of stuff, and trying to minimize stuff when it comes to planning appointments. The focus really isn't as much on aesthetics as the functional living in the home to reduce some of the chaos so it brings calm. Would that be an accurate
assumption? Yeah, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, I like a nice looking household. I'm a woman, right? And I enjoy nice things. So some of the bins are nice. Some of them, you know, are in the corners or whatever. So we still try to maintain a nice household, but at the same time, make it livable and friendly for neurodivergence.
Touche, touche. Any last tip or comment before we close it out?
Yeah, I really like how you mentioned the individuality. Just because your child has ADHD doesn't mean that these tips are going to work for them. So think about what is hard right now and think about how you can make it more simple. And sometimes you can just ask your kids, what would make this easier? And sometimes they'll have a really good idea for you. And just think about, like, what is the most important thing to focus on? Are these things so important that they put their shoes on the shoe rack or, you know, get their clothes yep. into their room rather than in the, so like, we have to pick our battles and, you know, really collaborate with our family members to have a copacetic and happy household.
Touché. Well said, Brooke. Well said. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
Everybody, it's Coaching with Brooke. When you spell Brooke, it's with an E, B-R-O-O-K-E.com. Again, coachingwithbrooke.com. Our secret word tonight is household. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.